Blog Talk Radio.
Weekly Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're off to the races with another week.
Arf, arf.
Conservative. Bark, bark.
Arf, arf.
I want to kind of get carried away with something today.
Okay.
We've been kind of touching on this, the issue of the Ground Zero Mosque.
Yeah, yeah.
And I suggested last week that I was kind of on board with the idea that it was really disrespectful. I really didn't change my position that they had the right to do it if that's what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of, I haven't changed my opinion about that, but something else has come up, kind of getting a lot of press today, that I kind of actually found to be just a tad funny, although extremely disrespectful. A preacher, is he in Florida or Georgia? I think he's Florida.
Florida, yep.
Has decided that what he's going to do to mark 9/11 is to gather a whole bunch of people together from his congregation, and they're going to go out on the lawn of the church and burn some Korans.
Yep.
Now, I do find that to be somewhat disrespectful. Is the same way I feel about them, about somebody burning the American flag, or, putting a Bible into a jar full of piss.
Mm-hmm.
I find all of those things to be disrespectful. Now, one of the nice things about being here in Southern California is I get to listen to Richard Hitchcock?
Hitchcock.
Yeah, who subs for Rush on occasion, but he's actually here in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to hear him every day if I want. I don't hear him all too often, but one of the things that he was saying was today was, you know, it's really hard to be an American. It's a lot easier to be a fascist. You know, do what we tell you, otherwise you go to jail. In America, you know, you can do a whole lot of things that fascists would like to send you to jail for, but here, you know, people do things that can offend greatly and not have to worry about the government throwing them into jail.
Exactly.
This preacher down in Florida is certainly taking advantage of that particular point of view, that he can do something that's extremely inflammatory, extremely disrespectful, and perfectly legal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I have actually talked about doing exactly the same thing in the past for exactly the same reasons, to be disrespectful, to be antagonistic, to be incendiary.
Sure.
And when I first heard this, I think I actually heard it late yesterday, because I think that's when it first broke, was yesterday. It's getting a lot of more play today because it's, you know, now it's no longer the holiday. But the thing about it is, you know, I thought about it and go, you know, this is going to piss off a whole lot of people, which, of
yes,
course,
it is. Yep, absolutely.
And then somebody made a comment today that I thought was stupid. General Petraeus chimed in and said that it would be a really bad idea and dangerous to the troops in the field if he did something like this. My initial gut reaction to Petraeus saying that was, if anybody tries to harm some of our troops over doing this, I think our troops have the right to shoot back.
Yeah. Well, theoretically, they do anyway, huh?
And that would be, you know, a significant fewer number of people that would get murderous into a murderous rage about burning a book.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, and the drawback is, what?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Of course, the problem is, you know, he's right. Is if somebody did this, and frankly, I'm surprised that I haven't seen 1,000 YouTube videos about it.
Yeah.
You know, of course, people are not doing it because, of course, they fear that they'll be targeted if they do this. And I'm sitting there like going, okay, you know, talk about chill on the First Amendment right. You know, that people are not going to do something for fear that they'll be murdered for expressing their First Amendment rights. So I'm of two minds by this gentleman in Florida. Frankly, I'm cheering him on and hoping that he'll do it. Second, I'm hoping that Muslims all over the rest of the world will be incensed, just, you know, driven mindlessly into rage. And then I'm thinking, well, it is disrespectful, and should I, in my own particular point of view, be encouraging, you know, disrespect when I think, you know, the lack of respect is what's driving a whole lot of crap going on. And so I spent the last couple of hours actually thinking about it. And this is my conclusion. In order for me to have some respect for you, I would like to see some respect from you towards me. Now, you don't have to be respectful to me for me to be respectful to you. But you certainly can't show me disrespect and then hope that I'm going to be respectful in return.
Exactly.
And right now, a significant portion of the Muslim world is showing a significant amount of disrespect towards 9/11, Americans, you know, in general, and towards our way of life specifically. And the mosque is just one example of that. So I'm sitting here kind of going, am I again playing by this rule that I'm going to be nice and polite and respectful while somebody is shooting at me?
Yeah, really.
So the answer is, where can I send a donation?
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know. For me, it really boils down to, folks, where are your principles? What is it about all of this that folks don't get? And that is this. If you believe in the First Amendment, if you say, you know what, folks have got an absolute right to do what they want to do as it pertains to either building a mosque or burning a Quran or putting a crucifix in this or whatever, then you have to say, I don't like it. It isn't going to build any bridges, but they have a right to do that. And you can disagree all you want. That's fine. Disagree. I would not personally do that. On the other hand, I'm not about to jump up and tell somebody else, oh no, that's wrong, you can't do it. I mean, the Constitution is really a pesky thing. You know, it really is. If you subscribe to the principles that are laid out in the Constitution, then you got to take the good with the bad. And this is not a plea for Bow Wow Obama to reiterate his phrase of, oh, the Constitution is fundamentally flawed. It is not fundamentally flawed. It simply means that the government has no business putting its nose in it. Now, in this case, it was General Petraeus. Shame on him. I mean, you know, yeah, I understand his concern. On the other hand, does he really think that the Afghans are going to quit shooting at us because we don't burn Korans? I mean, that's not really realistic. If it's a hearts and minds thing, you know, all of us differ. All of us have got, in each of our separate countries, all of us have got different mores and customs and beliefs that we hold. This happens to be one that we as Americans hold, that as long as you are not destroying someone else's private property, as long as you are not in any other fashion breaking the law, you are free to express yourself. And it is absolutely no different than burning a flag or building a mosque at Park 51. No different whatsoever. Won't build bridges. Nope, I grant you that. It will not build bridges. But it isn't the end of the world either.
Yeah, I'm of the particular mind that Petraeus was wrong to get involved. First of all, the military has no business expressing a point of view about what civilians are doing.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, and I'm very disappointed in him doing this. Now, if he did this because, you know, the Obama administration said that he should do so, I will hold it less against him for following an order that that he would probably dislike, think is wrong, and shouldn't do, but is otherwise, you know,
obligated to do.
Yeah, you know.
Yep.
It's, you know, he cannot turn down that order on the basis that it's somehow illegal.
No.
So he would have to say that. So I'm hoping that he's been told to do that. Because if he did it on his own, I would find that to be dismaying at best.
Yep.
But given everything, I don't think he did. I think he did it based on Gates and Obama telling him to do it.
You know, that may very well be, but, our military's job is to break things. Okay? That's their job. That is the sum total of their job. If you want a nation build, if you want to win hearts and minds and that kind of stuff, get the State Department involved. Their job is to break things as quickly and as efficiently as they can.
Yeah, I just don't understand the do so. But at the same time, I'm sitting here kind of going, yeah, so what? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So what?
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. This goes back to the idea of, you know, Dr. Laura and her using the N-word.
Yeah.
Talked about. This also goes back to the idea. You know, I posted it, I don't know, a week ago or so, and got some people really liked the idea, saying, you know, I'm really tired of the political correctness. And,
yeah.
You know, this is seriously not politically correct.
Oh, seriously, yes. Yes,
indeed. You know, why would I have any particular issues with him doing it? I don't. I think it's disrespectful. But at the same token, you know, we're not seeing any sense of respect from the Muslim community with regards to the Ground Zero Mosque. You're right. This is us not doing this isn't going to get a whole lot of Muslims in the Middle East going, oh, they're such good people for not doing this.
Yeah, really.
Well, meanwhile, the Saudis will burn another, 10,000, Bibles that happen to cross their border. Three more Christian families will be burned in another, in Pakistan for trying to practice their beliefs. And we're talking about burning a Bible, and, the whole Muslim world is, ready to throw the planet into flames over it. And so I'm like, I just can't build up any particular, animosity towards this guy in Florida for doing so.
No.
And you just became the target dog, dude.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Bullseye just got painted on that church.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Church. Even if they don't do it, that bullseye's there. So,
this guy reminds me of the Westboro Baptist Church. I'm not saying, I think that's what they are. All I'm saying is that's who they remind me of. And for those who don't get the reference, the Westbury Baptist Church are the ones that go around to military funerals with their placards of, you brought it all on yourselves, God hates gays, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, they got a right to do that. It's stupid, it doesn't build bridges, but they got a right to do that. And this falls under exactly that same rubric. I'm exactly the same. I mean, there's not a shred of difference between it. And I'm just not willing to any longer be PC. If the Muslims of America or wherever they are in the world want to target people because of what they say, then shame on them. Shame on them. That isn't what we do here. Maybe what you do there in your own home countries, but it isn't what we do here. And you are not, at least in my opinion, not going to be able to use our own laws against us. Because, yes, you have a right, and, yes, we have a right to protest it.
Now, imagine this event occurs. It's going to be a Democrat that does it.
Oh, I'm sure.
A Democrat that announces the introduction of a bill to make the burning of the Quran illegal.
Mm. Yeah, they could do that.
At the same time that they will continue to, fight against any, I hesitate to use the term conservative in this point of view, but it more than likely will be a conservative, attempting to ban the burning of the flag. Now, the Democrats are going to certainly make the argument that the Quran is a holy Bible and, the flag is just a flag.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my argument is going to be the Middle East doesn't seem to have any problem with burning Bibles. And it's just a book, and as long as you own the book, you can certainly burn the book. How can anybody ban, somebody burning their own private property?
Exactly.
If they want to ban burning, you're not allowed to burn anything in the open.
Yeah.
Okay. charcoal, barbecues.
Yeah, forget the barbecues. That's all done.
I don't know.
I like that one. You bet. We're gonna ban burning everything, and all right, all you flyover country rubes, no more barbecues for you.
I just for me, it's kind of a situation where, the juxtaposition of a Democrat, putting in a law to ban burning of the Quran, while standing to allow the burning of the flag, will just be an incredibly wonderful visual aid for November.
And you absolutely know that they think that that's going to help them electorally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You know, without a thought to, what are the consequences of my saying that? Who am I going to piss off? The 2.1% of the population that are Muslim or the 70-plus percent that are Christian? Let me see here now.
Yeah. All I'm going to need to do is, take a full-page ad in the Washington Times with the picture of the art of the Bible or the cross in the jar of piss,
mm-hmm.
And the burning of the Quran and saying, this is illegal and this is legal.
Exactly.
Thank you. Party. Yeah, I just,
I mean, the visuals that come up with all of that is just astounding.
I'd go through the couch digging up pennies and nickels to contribute to that little ditty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, Lord.
Speaking of the target dog.
Oh, yes, the dog.
The dog.
Yeah.
What the hell was he talking about?
He was off prompter when he said that, and he admitted.
Well, that explains half of it.
Yeah. As to the other half, I have not a clue as to what he was talking about. But again, it provides some really great visuals. Twitter just went nuts with all kinds of dog jokes. And I had decided that I'm going to count down the election days between now and November the 2nd. And the tag end of them will always be some reference to a dog. Have you neutered it yet? Have you housebroken it yet? Have you walked it today? Some reference to a dog.
For those of you that don't know, and there's probably about three of you out there that don't know, Barack Obama yesterday in a speech in Wisconsin to a bunch of union people. Speaking of dogs.
Hey, that was a great cue there.
got off of his prepared remarks that he had for his speech and complained that his opponents were talking to him like he was a dog. Or
they were talking to him like he was a dog. Yeah.
Now, I'm not certain I understand what that means. I mean, is there a Republican somewhere out there in, some ad going, heel boy, heel?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I was going to ask you the question. I mean, does that have some significance for around the Chicago area?
Who let the dogs out? No!
No, okay. That's fine.
Be like, and then, what is it that you would be, how could you talk to somebody like a dog?
I don't know.
Maybe he missed a word. Maybe what he meant to say was, they're talking to me like a female dog.
Hmm.
Are they calling him a bitch? Frankly, I don't think there's a whole lot of that going on even the fringe of the right, because, that's giving him more credit than he deserves.
Yeah, it's true.
So, that's not the place where it is. So the question is, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, it really is a puzzle as to what he meant.
Or what he was referencing.
Yeah, I mean, I can accept that he got his metaphors screwed up, or, misspoke, whatever. But if you take the statement at face value, there really isn't any meaning to it. Other than, apparently he was laughing when he said that, one, and two, he got a big chuckle out of his audience.
Ah, maybe they know what he's talking about.
Well, maybe that has some meaning in Cleveland. I don't know.
Well, he was in Wisconsin. He was in Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee. Oh, I thought it was Cleveland.
And I can't think of anything in Milwaukee that would do that either. So
no, I mean, they're known for beer, or used to be anyway. But
I don't understand. It does. You know what it turned out to be was just another wine.
Yep.
You know, another, they're picking on me.
You know, and God, how unpresidential. I mean, it one, astounds me, and two, absolutely dismays me that the President of the United States, arguably the most powerful person on earth and surrounding environs, would say something like that in reference to himself, as if he somehow didn't have any control over the conversation, somehow he didn't have any culpability in the matter, whatever. I mean, it is just absolutely unpresidential. And this is from the smart president.
He's not shown any sense. What was I thinking of? Something happened last week.
Ah.
What was it? Something happened last week that made me think the same basic thought. He did something that was, you just sit there and go, why is he responding to this? Now, you and I think both of us did it at the time, you know, continued to chide, you know, Bush for, you know, not responding to some of the attacks that were being sent his way.
Yes, absolutely.
And I honestly believe that there were places where he really needed to ignore it and, you know, take the high road, but there were other places where it wasn't just a personal attack, where it wasn't just, some lunatic going off on some deep end. It was an attack on the presidency. It was, an attack on a policy that was going to generate a certain amount of, animosity towards the person himself. It was the animosity to the person himself that was creating a problem for the policy. Now, there are a lot of people that are making exactly that argument that's going on now with Obama. People are personally attacking him because of their opposition to a policy. They're personally attacking him. And there's little evidence that that's, in fact, what's going on. People just hate him. It really wouldn't make any difference if he was pink or white or blue or anything.
Right.
Policy that sucks, and frankly, that's our position.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, it demonstrably does. So, you know, he needs to get over being whatever part black he is. He needs to develop a thicker skin.
Oh, well,
I don't think he's going to do that, but yes, I understand.
Oh. At this point, wet toilet paper has more substance than his skin.
Yeah, exactly. And he needs to govern as he said he would in his campaign. Now, he's not going to do any of those things. He isn't going to do any of them. But if we're passing out free advice, that's my advice to him.
Well, it's clear that somebody else said it today. I don't know if it was Roger or if it was somebody else. It's clear that he's not going to allow the reinstatement of the Bush tax cuts simply because of one particular word, Bush. Because no matter how it's said, the word Bush appears in that phrase, Bush tax cuts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's simply not capable of allowing that type of event to occur.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
haven't paid a whole lot of attention to a lot of the numbers that have been going on, you know, economics. I saw them last week. I kind of paid a little bit of attention to them. Kind of a mixed bag. Certainly nothing that suggests that the economy is doing anything other than sliding, you know, not sliding sideways, certainly sliding down, but no big, huge, you know, drop-off. There's enough economic data that shows big, huge drop-offs to warn everybody that that's going on. I think we've gone into, for the next couple weeks, you know, some type of holding pattern. I don't think anybody expects a positive number for GDP.
No, I'm hard to see where it'd come from.
So that pretty much, you know, means that it's the bad news of GDP that's going to come out, you know, 6 days or 7 days before the election is already being discounted. It's rather interesting, unless that number comes in really bad. I mean, if it comes in -1%, most people are just going to shrug it off. If it comes in -3%, I mean, that's an entirely different story.
Exactly, exactly.
I don't know if it can come in 3%. It's certainly going to come in somewhere around 1.
I would think. I mean, you know, and even massaging the data, you're still at a negative between 1 and 0.
Right, so it's going to be negative. Anything under 1 or 1.5 is not going to be paid any a whole lot of attention to.
Yep.
Other than the fact that, well, everybody right now is, you know, running away from his economic policies. You know, just look at, you know, this last thing. You know, I swear to you, over the weekend I heard that it was going to be $100 billion, and then by yesterday it was $50 billion that they were going to use towards infrastructure. And both of them were flat out laughed at.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I laughed at it, you know, because the newscast that I heard said it said this: the Obama administration is going to, you know, propose another $100 billion, you know, program for stimulating, you know, infrastructure, and the hope that it will create some jobs. And I'm thinking, like, some jobs? Yeah, $100 billion for some jobs.
Exactly.
You know, $100 billion, based on experience right now, is about 40,000 jobs.
Yep.
40,000 jobs. I'm sure the 40,000 jobs, you know, the people that have those 40,000 jobs, who, in my opinion, will probably currently have those jobs because they're union workers working for state and local governments.
Mm-hmm.
Will continue to have those jobs. There will not be 40,000 new jobs, and I'm sure the 14.9 million people that are unemployed will be pretty happy to find out that those 40,000 union jobs will continue to get a nice bonus and raise and health benefits and pension.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I suspect they're going to be out in the streets dancing up and down with joy and glee. Well, they'll be out in the streets anyway.
It would be just flat cheaper if the Obama administration just gave, you know, the 14.9 million people $20,000.
There you go.
Here you go, $20,000.
There you go. Unfortunately, I think that makes too much sense, and so therefore it isn't going to be used.
Well, there's no control over it.
Well, that's true. They can't make sure who's got that money. Exactly. And you know what? Most of them aren't union people. So it's like, okay, there's another strike against it. You know, there is another leg to that. Apparently, he is also going to propose some amount of money for the housing industry, not actually for the banking industry, and they will pump some amount of money into the banking industry in exchange for banks who have underwater mortgages to take a 10% haircut and will rewrite the loans. Their estimation is that will help between 1.5 and 3 million people. I think it's Wells Fargo says, yeah, we think maybe 200 to 300,000. And the really bad part of that is 32% of the houses with mortgages on them right now are underwater.
Which means that 10% will mean absolutely nothing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, looking at our own house, I mean, 10% off of 10% off the mortgage on our house, based on the offers and the real estate people and such like that, 10% off of, well, is it 10% of the value or 10% of the mortgage?
10% of the mortgage.
Okay, so 10% of the mortgage would not take it from out of underwater.
Nope.
It would barely, it would barely be underwater, less than, 5%.
Mm-hmm.
But it would still not be, it would not fix the problem.
Nope.
And of course, the question has never been, what happens to the mortgage, because it's what happens to the payment that's the issue.
Exactly.
I
mean, everybody fixates on this, oh, the mortgage balances and the mortgages are underwater, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody stops to think, with 14.9 million people out of work, they don't know where the next payment is coming from. Now, I forget about the balances. They don't know where the next payment comes from. Makes sense.
Right, I end up in a situation where I'm sitting there looking at the current mortgage rates, which are, in the fours and low fives.
Yep.
And that, at that rate, we're talking about mortgage payments that are 95% principal based. Well, that's not true.
Mm-mm.
Nope. You're talking about, on a $200,000 mortgage, a 4% loan is still going to be $800 or $900.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're having problems with a 7% loan, which at that point would be about $1,400, I don't know that cutting that $500 out of the mortgage payment is going to make that. We're not seeing it. The people, the petitions that I see wouldn't make that much difference. It wouldn't help. Because I'm seeing people forget how far the house is underwater. I'm looking at people with, you sit there and you take their income and you subtract the living expenses. I'm talking about food, gas, utilities, insurance, and the like. And we're talking about somewhere in the vicinity of, 10 or 20% underwater before you even start to debt payment.
Oh, boy.
And those are the worst cases. The ones that are marginal, food, a mortgage payment, but nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
They're barely hanging on. But of course, if they have car payments and a second mortgage and credit cards, forget it at that point, because they're way underwater from that. So,
mm-hmm.
Now we don't see any. There is nothing on the table. Nothing even suggested that would be on the table that will have any significant impact upon the housing market for the people that are in trouble.
Yep. I know. It is a mystery as to what his thought process is.
The thought process is they don't want to go to the one place that, that's going to make a difference, simply because they don't want that pain and suffering to go on. What has to happen is that, housing prices need to come down another 30%, 40 or 45% in some markets,
mm-hmm.
but somewhere around 30%, and a whole lot of houses need to change hands.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
And I put that number probably somewhere in the vicinity of, somewhere between 20 and 25 million homes need to change hands. And we need to see price drops in the vicinity of 30 to 40%.
That would go a long way.
That would do a pretty good job of getting the housing market back into some sense of reality. But frankly, I think, you know, even if I'm dreaming, you know, we're talking about killing another $10 trillion worth of you know, wealth in this country.
Yep. And I don't know that they can do that. I mean, what it really comes down to is you have to provide people with jobs. I mean, it is really that simple and that hard. You have to provide people with jobs. You cannot provide people with jobs with Keynesian economics. Doesn't work. Never has worked. Ever. Any place.
Well, you don't. Let me take some semantics here.
Okay.
Okay. You cannot provide them with jobs.
Yep.
You have to provide the environment in which jobs are created.
Yes.
And there's no way in hell that he's going to do that, because the only type of jobs that he's willing to create are the ones that he can control.
Yes.
And those are the Keynesian jobs. Those are the government-created jobs. He won't do, you know, and they're not of any value to us.
Which are ultimately at risk anyway. I mean, if you have to tax more and spend more, which is fundamentally the Keynesian equation, and you can only provide public sector jobs with that spending, then at some point in time you run out of an ability to tax anybody at any kind of a rate that will pay for that. I mean, it's a Ponzi scheme, and it can't go on.
Right.
Yeah. So those jobs are at risk in any event. And no, those are not the teachers and the police and the firefighters. It only from the standpoint of their actual salary. Now, if you factor in their benefit package, if you factor in their retirement and their medical and that kind of stuff, yes, that becomes unsustainable. And somehow we need to also get a handle on that. But the real issue is private sector jobs and what is the climate that supports those, that creates them. And the things that I'm reading right now suggest, and these are from Dems. These are from people who would have a vested interest in saying, oh, yeah, everything's going to be fine. And they're saying it may take a decade to recover from this. Now, that was certainly true of 29, but that was, again, because of the policies. I mean, it wasn't because, oh, gosh, let's go back to free markets, let's go back to capitalism. It was because the feds didn't provide liquidity, and the government decided that they needed to control it, the whole economy, and they proceeded to try to do so. And we saw what happened then. We're pursuing the same course now, and so it would be counterproductive to think we're going to get a different result.
Right. It's the same thing. When you think it's a liquidity problem and you throw lots of money at it, and it doesn't, you know, if it's a liquidity problem and you throw money at it, it's going to fix.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the government has thrown somewhere between $2 and $4 trillion at this problem. Liquidity is not the issue.
No, it certainly isn't, is it?
At this point, that's kind of like walking into a, you know, a you know, into some quicksand and going, okay, liquidity is not the issue here.
No, it isn't.
Solvency is the issue, and solvency only gets fixed one way, and they're not going to allow that to happen. You know, the two things that have to happen, you know, housing prices have to come down, and government needs to get its hands out of every single pocket it can find. The one thing that scares me more than anything else, everything that he's doing at this particular point, we can recover from. You and I have had plenty of conversations about it.
Absolutely.
We can fix this in 90 days. We can have somebody sworn in on January 21st, 2013, and by Easter, we can be well on the way to having this fixed.
Yep.
Well on its way. I mean, to the point where there's going to be no doubt that it's been repaired and things are getting much better, much quicker.
Yes.
90 days. We can fix all of the economic problems in 90 days. It'll take some time for it to actually, you know, do the repairs, but 90 days.
But it will become apparent that process is working.
But it will become apparent within 90 days that process is absolutely working and working better than anything else that they have done. My problem is this. Starting in January of next year, the federal government is going to have its prying little eyes into virtually every nook and cranny of our financial lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
They're going to know what's in our checking accounts, savings accounts, retirement accounts. They're going to know what's in our safety deposit boxes. They're going to know where every penny that comes into our lives is and where it's going,
mm-hmm.
where it's coming from. And that level of intrusion can't be fixed in 90 days. Because once they start collecting that information, even if they stop at some point, you know, that information is there.
Hmm. You know, I think maybe I disagree with that. From this standpoint, if I say if advisedly, because nobody knows what's going to happen on election day. We think we do. We think it's going to be a big Republican resurgence, but if the Republicans take over, particularly if they take over the House, they can defund those agencies that are prime. They can deny funds for specific purposes. And if that doesn't work, they can simply defund the whole shebang. Now, do they have the guts to do it? Probably not.
No.
But they could. They do have that power.
That's my problem, is that I think we're electing a Republican, Congress that's going to go, we're putting a stop right now to the Obama plan. That's great. But you say, when can this be repealed? Oh, well, repeal might take some time, and it might...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That, I'm just looking at in the sense that, we'll stop Obama, but we're not turning anything back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a worry.
The Republicans are those types of people that go, well, our problem is not with the taxes, is who's got the purse strings to spend it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
which only points out the fallacy of allowing government to manipulate and control, one, the money supply, but two, the tax code to achieve a social agenda.
And that's been my problem and your problem and so many other people that are tired of the Republicans.
Yep.
The Republicans have always argued that it's not that they're opposed to taxing and spending. It's just
mm-hmm.
they're opposed to taxing and spending by Democrats.
Yeah, exactly. And Democrats' pet programs. However, the Republican pet programs are just absolutely necessary, right?
Right.
I mean, I think about the only point that I would agree with that on is defense. beyond that, and that's an enumerated power. Beyond that, I'm sorry. Don't do that, folks. And I don't know. Maybe people are paying attention now. You know, maybe they're going to keep their eye on him and say, you know what? You aren't doing so hot. I think we're going to replace you, too.
And, of course, a whole lot of Republicans go, yeah, with what, another Democrat?
Well, I think maybe
that's what the leadership is doing.
Well, yes, it certainly seems to be, doesn't it?
You know, leadership is still on the premise that, you know, you can't vote for a Democrat. You have to vote for us. So,
right, exactly.
I am strongly buying into this concept that even if it's a rhino, if the choice is between a rhino and a Democrat, you got to vote for the rhino.
Yeah.
My premise on that is very simply, right now it looks like enough of the conservatives are going to be in leadership positions that if they have the numbers, they can keep the rhinos in line.
That's true. That is true.
So my argument at this point is make sure they have the numbers so they can keep the rhinos in line.
Yep. I would agree with you on that one.
You know, if there's enough, well, it can't happen in the Senate because even if we got every single one, you know, at best we're going to be, 51-49 at best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's clean sweep.
Right.
Not going to be in the Senate. But in the House, if you end up with a situation where virtually nothing, if the Democrats don't have enough people to get anything started, the rhinos will stay in line because, you know, even with the rhinos, the Democrats won't have enough to stop something.
Exactly.
Then the rhinos will fall in line with the rest of the Republicans.
Yep. Have you taken a look at some of the numbers that folks are throwing out in terms of the House? I mean, I'm seeing numbers between 50 and 90.
The biggest number that I have seen, and you probably saw the same one, was 89.
Wow.
That was the biggest number that I've seen. I'm of the mind, it really depends on how things, it depends upon how, if there's a lot of people that believe that the Democrats are going to get trounced, that they're just going to be wiped out, you know,
mm-hmm.
then I think there's going to be a lot of independents and mamby-pamby conservatives that are go, well, we don't need to vote this time, even though we would, because we want to make sure the Democrats out there, because there are going to be so many people voting against the Democrats, they don't need one more to pile on.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could end up with a situation where it'll be a lot closer than people think. And then some of those marginal races will actually stay in the Democrats' hands simply because less people are in there. If, you know, and then it becomes my situation. One of the things that I notice is that if I stay away from Twitter for a little while,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the noise level against Democrats is down significantly. In other words, if you're not in with the most active people,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
average people are not anywhere near as extremely virulently, you know, throw the bums out. They'll say it, but as far as actually, you know, being, you know, tea parties and stuff like that, they're just not there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the nice things about being away for the last couple of months, you know, month and a half is that, you know, I got to see that, you know, politics-wise, you know, as much as we think there's a really big screaming meme-y, you know, contingent out there, it's just not that loud yet. I want to see what happens over the next month.
Well, yeah. Part of that could be because Congress is not in session. And so, consequently, there are not fresh outrages to remind people of what they have to do. You and I both tend to follow more active people. I'm seeing a lot of tweets about, you know, support this candidate, support that kind of candidate, giving the URLs for their websites and that kind of thing. So I don't know. It may be a case of, okay, they're not in session, they aren't piling fresh outrage upon fresh outrage. So we can relax a little bit. And I think people are simply waiting for November the 2nd. Now, that would be too bad because they need to get out and work. But I
think what's going to happen is we're going to see, as November or October progresses, we're going to see lots more people, lots more advertising going out there. And I'm hoping that nobody is PC on the conservative side. I just hope they bring in the new apples. I mean, please,
yep,
make them eat their own words.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, interestingly enough, a number of Democrats are running on the platform of they didn't vote for the health care bill or the stimulus package or the whatever. Given the numbers that those passed with, I don't know that I really believe that. I mean, how many of them could have voted against it?
Oh, but they're going to say it. But you're right. It's, you know, they're not internet-oriented, so, you know, who's going to catch them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
And, of course, you know, then you need, you know, an internet-savvy, you know, opponent that's going to be able to take that and use that.
Well, and we have them. I mean, you know, I'm seeing YouTube political, I don't know that they're advertisements, but they could certainly be added to the advertisements, that juxtapose the previous position that a congressman took and what their current position is. So I'm seeing some of that. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm, you know, November. I can see November from my house.
Yeah, the polls are definitely there. The polls are definitely taking, you know, the Democrats are going to get bad. The question is how bad.
Yeah, exactly. And
I certainly like the idea of, you know, Joe Biden having to sit in the Senate every day for the next 2 years.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? That would be nice.
It would be just, I mean, it would be just one gaffe fest after another.
Actually, I don't think that he could he? He had to give up his seat.
He's vice president. He's Senate pro tem.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm hearing what you're saying now. I got a little confused there. I've seen that sentiment expressed before, and I thought to myself, well, how in the hell is he going to sit in the Senate? Except that he's still in office. He's still the vice president. And yes, he is still Senate president pro tem.
So I would that would certainly be good.
Yes.
You know, I'd like to see a 50 or 60 seat margin in the House.
That would be nice.
That would be a stunning rebuke.
Yep.
And
remember, I mean, it takes what, 39 seats just to win one vote control. So if you're talking about 50 or 60 seats, you really aren't talking about as big a margin as the Dems had.
Right. All right, 30 seconds.
Okay, kiddos. Mama Gurkha, Just Me Pammy, Hallie 5, Arkansas Traveler, thank you for tuning in. Louisa Ma, if you were out there, didn't see your tweet. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it.
Bill, good week.
Yeah.
Weather is turning cool here in California.
Yes, it is.
Fires are small and far between.
Good.
So, you know, settle in. The fall has begun. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
You betcha.
Good night, everyone. Talk to you next week.
You betcha. Are we out?
Yes, we are. The campaign season has officially started.
Yep.
And
okay.
Glee is getting ready to start, and I no longer have a studio.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. That's got to be the hardest part, right?
Yeah, that I think more so for Victoria than me.
Yeah, could be.
So,
okay, kiddo. I have to run because I've got to give some computer help to somebody here.
All right.
So I will talk to you later.
Have a good week. We'll talk to you.
All right. You too. Bye.
Good night, everyone. See you next week.